Back here on the Mighty 690 at 8:12, and joining us on the line for the last time as Independence Police Chief, we have Jerry Harrison. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing great, James. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing well. I'm so glad that you could come on here. I know we had to shift things around just a little bit from our normal time, but hey, you know, I just want to say before we get things started, you know, it's just been great to chat over the last year and a half that I've been here at the radio station, and I know that everyone you know hates to see you go, and I think they really summed it up pretty good at the Independence City Commission meeting. You know, it's been great to have you. You know. Even a little bit longer than you know than was initially expected. So, you know, like I said, everyone just hates to see you go, but we really wish you luck on your next journey over there in Missouri. And again, just you know, thank you for your time here in Southeast Kansas.
Well, thank you, James. I can't believe we've been doing this together for a year and a half. It seems like just yesterday I was started doing this with Deb Woodall years ago, and. We miss her, and anyways, thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, hey, we just wanted to give you an opportunity to look back on, you know, some of your accomplishments over the last 8 years. I know that, you know, when you kind of get time to step back and look, you know, it really has you accomplished a lot here in your time.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, the chief is only as good as the people that he or she works with. And I got to say that the team that I serve with has been very successful, and I certainly appreciate them. And we couldn't have done any of these things without every single person that's walked through that door since I've been the chief at Independence. So the real credit goes out to the officers that serve this community and continue to serve this community.
Yeah, that is wonderful, and I know that you know, just it's not always, you know, the easiest measure of his success and everything, but I know that you guys have gotten a number of awards here you know, within the last 8 years with you at the helm.
Well, several of those years we got AAA Traffic Safety Awards. We had a traffic safety officer that drove that bus for us. We've had a number of officers recognized with life-saving awards over the years by our city commission. We had two officers recognized by the Kansas Association of Chiefs of Police and the Kansas House of Representatives with life-saving awards as well. We've had at least three dispatchers I can think of, if not more, that have been recognized for life-saving awards through our use of emergency medical dispatch. We had a female officer promoted to sergeant, and she got a glass ceiling award from the National Association of Women Law Enforcement Executives. We try to send a team to that conference every year. That just kind of scratched the surface, but the team has really worked hard and gotten some recognition for that work.
Yay, that is excellent. And I know that you've also, you know, had a bunch of programs that have seen success. Can you talk a little bit about some of those?
Yes, you know, we've done what we could think of to try to get volunteerism going in our department. The citizens of Independence kind of demand that. They want to be a part, and they want opportunities to contribute to our organization, and it's always good to pull the curtain back and let people see inside what's happening. So we've tried to accommodate that where we could, and we had a team develop internship programs for, like, the Upward Bound program at ICC, Jobs for America's graduates at the high school, and then, of course, all of our seniors in the USD 446 are required to do a community service internship. So we got those programs going. We have an ALICE instructor that can provide run, hide, fight training to qualifying organizations. We've started Neighborhood Watch, or restarted Neighborhood Watch again over the years. And we've tried to get our auxiliary officer program going. We have one participating in that. We've had a couple here and there over the years as we've tried to revamp that. So those different offerings to bring people from the outside into the department to work with alongside of us have, I think, really strengthened our relationship with the community.
Well, that is great. And I know, too, you know, just making sure that everyone has all the tools they need to do their job, you know, like the complaint forms and that sort of thing is another one that I know you had mentioned. And also the new tools we have, you know, even 8 years ago, you know, the video doorbells and all that sort of thing were not really in vogue. But I mean, now we have the security cameras and stuff that is almost pretty standard on a lot of homes, and being able to know where those are to help fight crime.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I can remember, it seemed, you know, it was probably in 2017 or 2018 that Chief Bromley down there at Coffeyville was talking with me about a Ring program they had going there at Coffeyville PD, and I just thought, wow, I wonder, you know, you never realize where these things are going to go, and those, you know, those different brands of doorbell cameras have really taken off. And yeah, you mentioned our complaint forms. We partnered with the library, and we issue out complaint and commendation forms to all of our personnel. We have them available at the library. We have them on the website, so we've streamlined access to everybody in the community if they need to communicate with us about what's going on the street with our officers. And we investigate those fairly and openly as we can. We do have a security camera registry. That's confidential for all participants. It's voluntary. And you can withdraw at any time. So we won't share your information with anybody. It's just used internally. And that just, if you register your camera, tell us what it looks at and where it's at. Then if we have a crime in your neighborhood, we can look through that registry. We can see if we think your camera might have captured some footage. And then that allows us to proactively reach out to people and saves us time going door to door in the neighborhood trying to get video footage of crimes. Some other registries we started was the Take Me Home Registry. That's for people with cognitive disabilities that can't communicate with the police. And it helps us quickly return these community members when we locate them. And it's also voluntary and confidential. And I can remember one night when I was on patrol back home, I came across a young man who's probably 12, 13 years old, 1 o'clock on a Saturday night, wandering around town. And he couldn't tell me where he lived or, you know, who his family was. I didn't even know where to start looking to make sure he got home, but obviously I couldn't leave him out running around. We had to get him help. And so having a registry like that would have been very helpful, would have saved a lot of time and effort on an investigation with him.
Sure.
So we have that Take Me Home Registry that was started down in Florida.
Okay.
We also have a Store Trooper Registry. This allows us to know where, you know, FEMA found that they would have these big natural disasters, and these folks would be trapped and suffering in their storm shelters because no one knew to come rescue them or come look for them. And so we started the storm shelter registry. So, you know, if a house falls on your storm shelter and you can't get out, or a tree falls on it, we know that when the scene starts to stabilize and the sun comes back up, we can grab our storm shelter registry and start sending teams out to rescue people from their storm shelters. And again, that's voluntary and confidential. And it's just there to help us find you more quickly before any tragedy can befall you and your loved ones trapped in a storm shelter.
Yeah, no, that is great, especially the fact that, you know, we've seen, unfortunately, situations like Joplin where, you know, because of, like, all landmarks would be gone, you don't even know where you're at unless you have, you know, a GPS or something, and, you know, an outdoor, you know, entrance to a storm shelter might be quite obvious under normal circumstances, but it could be completely covered by debris after a tornado. So that's definitely a great program. Also, I know we've talked a little bit about this before, I believe, but that prescription drop-off program.
We do. We have a prescription drop-off program. We have a locked steel bin that's mounted to the building in the PD lobby at City Hall. It's accessible day and night. You can come in and drop off your medications. And Coffeyville PD is coordinated with all the agencies in the county and with the DEA to get us a drug destroyer, so we're able to, you know, render those drugs useless, and then we destroy them, and that way they don't fall into the wrong hands, hurt a child or hurt an addict or cause other societal problems, keep people from being poisoned, keep it keep it out of our water supply, all the, you know, keep it out of the landfills, keep it away from animals. I mean, just all kinds of things can go wrong with that. So you can drop your drugs off at the PD. We'll get them destroyed properly. We can't take needles, creams, aerosols, or liquids, but we do have that program available if you want to stop by and take advantage of it.
Okay, that's excellent. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you equip some of the officers, because, you know, they're showing up to all sorts of different scenes and situations, and I know that, you know, now they've got some tools that can help them out with a wide variety of situations.
Yes, and, you know, we have a duty of care to everyone in our society, no matter what their circumstances are or their, you know, challenges that they face. And so we worked with the state organization that serves the deaf and hard of hearing. We worked with them to get some hard of hearing cards placed in all of our vehicles to help officers communicate with those that are deaf and hard of hearing. So that helps us just more equally serve everyone in our community.
No, that is great. And then additionally, I know you have some tools as well if officers encounter an overdose situation, right?
We do. We put naloxone in all the cars. We have we train on it every year, and we have all the policies and things in place that state law requires that allow our officers to administer naloxone in the case of overdoses. We've had a number of officers get life-saving awards locally because of these overdoses. And I encourage everyone, you know, look into naloxone. If you qualify to get some, you might keep it with you, get trained on it if that's something that you're interested in. I can tell you that the problem is so bad, you know, with these opioid overdoses are so frequent that at the state level, we don't recognize officers for saving lives for naloxone overdoses just because they happen daily across the state. And so we recognize them locally. But, you know, I think that just speaks to the prevalence of the problem. And if you're someone that qualifies to get a hold of some naloxone and be trained in its use, I really hope you'll take advantage of that and save a life and maybe change a life.
Yeah, for sure. Now let's talk a little bit about the crime reporting. I know that the department you report to the state, and you also have some other ways that you report crime and accidents and all that sort of thing.
Yes, we report all that data to the state. You know, IPD changed the computer systems that it used several years ago, and they really struggled to get that lined out and reporting to the state. So in 2016, we really dug deep into that thing and worked with the state, worked with the company, worked with our vendor, and we were able to fix that and make sure that we were being open and transparent for our community so that they would know what was happening on the street in their town, their hometown.
That is great. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and then on the accidents, we started online accident reporting very recently. You know, we've had to find ways. We're a pretty lean organization, even in the best of times. So we just try to find ways to be more efficient and better serve our community with the resources we have. You know, nobody wants to pay more taxes. So what can we get done with what we're given now? And so to kind of relieve the pressure on officers and save citizens time of waiting for an officer, we've developed an online accident reporting for qualifying accidents. So, you know, encourage everyone, go to the PD's webpage. You can look into that and see what the rules are for that so that you're prepared if you should ever need to use it.
Excellent. And then I know you've also had some initiatives as far as the kind of like bias policy and, you know, just trying to treat everyone fairly, right?
Yes. And James, again, the purpose is to operate transparently so that the community knows exactly what's going on in the police department. You know, it's not enough to do the right thing. You need to be able to show that you're doing the right thing. And so we track our officer-initiated activity, and we go through that every year. We look at each officer. We look at the organization as a whole, and we do training and participate in various things that help us police our community without bias.
Sure. Now, let's talk a little bit about kind of on the dispatch side of things. I know that during your time, you made some improvements to the way the dispatch is and, you know, implementing some, you know, new technology, new practices, right?
We did. You know, in 2016, not long after I got here, we switched over to the current next generation 911 system, which was a big move for us. Kansas has a robust 911 system, probably one of the best in the nation. I've been fortunate enough to be appointed by three governors to serve on that 911 coordinating council, and I've continued to serve on that until I leave. But, you know, at the state level, we've implemented NG911 in almost every county in the state. And then here in Independence, we automated our emergency medical dispatch. So for a long time, our dispatchers have provided pre-arrival medical care instructions, and a few years ago we bought the software and got the training so that instead of flipping through, you know, cardboard charts and booklets, they now just answer the questions on a computer and it shunts them through the project or through the process automatically. It better serves more rapidly and more accurately serves our community. Again, just, you know, that's a life-saving project. You know, we've saved several lives through CPR instructions and other medical care.
Well, that is great. And, you know, it's all about speed in so many of those circumstances. So being able to save a few seconds, we can't put a price tag on that, I feel like. But, hey, let's switching gears just a little bit here, kind of looking towards the future. I know we had the announcement yesterday about our new interim chief. And wanted maybe just a little bit of perhaps a background on that. And I know obviously it's an interim situation here, so we'll be looking for a new chief here. But it is good to, you know, have that in place for now.
It is. We have interim police chief David Hutchings. He'll be here Monday, working with us starting Monday. Looking forward to getting with him and helping him get his feet wet and get oriented to town. He recently retired as the associate director at the Kansas Bureau of Investigations, and the city administration selected him to be the interim that was announced yesterday. And the exciting thing about that is he brings a lot of skill and experience and connection across the state. And so I feel very comfortable, you know, as I walk out the door, knowing that Chief Hutchings will do an excellent job of guiding the process of selection and get a world-class chief coming in here to carry the ball forward for Independence for many years. And we've got some great officers that I'm leaving behind, and I wish them well in their careers. I see a bright future for Independence. We've got a lot of young, excited folks with good hearts that are going to bring a lot of energy to serve in this community.
We're talking with Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison as he looks back on his 8 years here in serving the department and leadership there. And, sir, just wanted to give you an opportunity here. Anything you'd like to say to the citizens of Independence as we start to wrap things up here?
Well, just always remember your role and service to this community as well. And, you know, the citizens are just as responsible to police this community. So, as the police are. So do your part and prevent crime, all those things I talk about every time I get in front of a microphone. And, you know, as I walk out the door, I just want to tell the next chief, you know, always make it about people. Put your team first. They'll put your community, you know, your team will put the community first and everything will fall into line. And I think the most important thing is just to thank the officers that I've served with for all these years, especially those that have carried our community through COVID and carried our community through this last year and dedicated so many hours of overtime and holidays away from their family. They've really sacrificed this last year as we've worked through a staffing crisis, and we're coming out of that. And, you know, things are looking bright, but those folks have really stepped up to the challenge of serving this community over the last year. And I can't thank them enough. And it's hard to walk away from people that care that much about their community.
Excellent. Well, sir, well, you know, we appreciate all the time that you spent with us informing us of all the situations in the area, both good and bad, because you know that's just the name of the game and how it goes, you know. And you know, we're a radio station, you know, we share the good and bad of it. It's just kind of how things are. But you know, we really wish you the best of luck here in your new position. I know it's always bittersweet to be able to have to leave a position that you've been in for this long. But you know, I think everyone listening is definitely wishing you the best as you move towards the next chapter. And we appreciate everything that you have done to move forward the city of Independence and also just Southeast Kansas in general.
Well, thank you, James, for all those kind words, and thank you to KGGF and all your team down there. They've always given us a fair shake over the years, and a lot of police officers, a lot of police departments don't get that kind of support across the country. So, a lot of credit goes to you guys for being a stand-up organization, and I wish you well, and take care, man.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. And again, best luck in your new adventure. And hopefully we'll get to chat again one of these days.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. You take care. That is Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison for the last time here as a police chief. We appreciate him joining us and look forward to the next chapter. Coming up, we do have our update from Coffeyville's Reawakening. That is on the way. 45 degrees right now in Coffeyville.